Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC, on a Wednesday on which we are celebrating the fact that former Red, Emre Can, and Borussia Dortmund, a club that I think a lot of Reds feel a kinship with, are in the Champions League final, having knocked out Paris Saint-Germain in one of the bigger upsets I can remember in the Champions League semi-final in quite a while. Like, I was trying to think earlier of other times in the last, 20, 30 years, where a team has reached the final completely against the odds. Like, this is not a good Dortmund team. They're fifth in a weak Bundesliga. But the fact that the Bundesliga is as weak as it is and potentially will have both Champions League finalists is, I suppose, maybe it's a bit of a slap at how weak the Champions League was this year. It didn't feel particularly good, the Champions League. Like, Real Madrid are the other team, obviously, in the second semi-final, which takes place tonight. And that's a Real team without a striker, who haven't had their first-choice goalkeeper all season, who've been patching together the defence. Like, they've got a great midfield, and then they've got Vinicius and Jude, if you don't want to count him as a midfielder. But it's not a vintage Real. It doesn't feel like a fully formed entity. So maybe it's down to how weak the competition is. But last night, Dortmund were really, really good. And I really hope Jürgen goes to the final. I hope he goes in the Dortmund end, gets absolutely rat-arse drunk, sings his head off, gets sick all over himself, ends up sleeping in a skip or, you know, somebody's garden or something. That'd just be fantastic. I'm delighted for Emery. Always a very good player. Horribly treated by certain members of the Liverpool media who had noted agendas on behalf of other players. And it's a lovely two fingers up to them. What do we have today then? We have Fabio Carvalho explains why first Liverpool FC transfer collapsed. Oh, this is when Carvalho was set to join us in January 2022, and then it fell apart. And obviously we got him then in the summer. The plan was to sign him and loan him back for the remainder of that season, because obviously Fulham were chasing promotion and he was playing an important role for them. He says that it was literally only on deadline day that I went through the medical. At the time, it just didn't feel right. It felt a bit rushed. So I said I didn't want to do it because it didn't feel right. Which, funnily enough, it's good to see him come out and say that it was him that put a stop to it, but that it wasn't like a thing of, I don't want this move. It was more, I just don't feel this is right at this moment in time. And I think fair is fair. And I think we ended up basically giving them the same amount of money that summer. Even though he was out of contract, we agreed to avoid a tribunal by agreeing the same amount that we were going to pay in the January. Looking forward to seeing if he's involved next season. I do think the Arnie Slot shape will suit him. That number 10 position feels like he could be one of the, you know, the depth pieces there. But it's all about what they feel is best for his development. Will it be better for him to go on loan again, potentially play, you know, 30, 35 games, maybe 25 of them are starts, rather than playing for us where maybe he gets like 12 starts and isn't coming off the bench a lot of weeks? Certainly if Mo is the 10, which is, you know, one of the possibilities, Carvalho as the backup could be a good alternative there. It will be interesting to see. He's obviously a talented player. He's done well on this loan at Hull. Not as well as some would have you believe. Like, there's a notion that he went down there and tore the league apart. That isn't what happened, but he did put up good numbers and have a bunch of good performances and a bunch of kind of nothing performances, which is the way with young players. Ben Boxick has done an interview with Vitaslav Jaros on This Is Anfield. A part of it came out yesterday. There's another part today talking about, you know, what it's like moving to Liverpool, some of the rules, some of the, you know, the academy pillars in terms of, you know, these are what's expected of you. For example, under the leadership of Alex Inglethorpe, the club introduced a wage cap for Liverpool youngsters, which means they cannot earn above £50,000 in the first year of their professional contract. Handing your phone in when you get there in the morning, getting it back in the evening. These type of disciplinary things are very, very important to keeping these young players grounded. It's why you don't really hear of Liverpool youngsters being problematic. At other clubs, they're handed the sun, moon, and the stars off the bat. We've heard stories of, you know, 17-year-olds at Chelsea who were earning 15 and 20 grand a week. There was a story when Tosin Adarabayo was at City. I think he was on 30 grand a week at 18. And not to disparage the player, and Tosin certainly has never done anything that would make you believe that it had any kind of negative effect on him. But that's the type of money that's getting thrown around at these younger players at certain clubs. And while it might not affect the likes of a Tosin, there's certainly others that it has had an effect on that haven't gone on to live up to the potential and the expectation of their talent, because there's no real reason to. There's no more carrot for them to chase. They've already got it. Like, you give a player a 5-year contract on 30 grand a week, 7.5 million, you would take off tax, take off agent fees, he's going to come out with around half of that. 3.75 million? That's life-altering money. And Like, you can live a very comfortable life on that type of money. And a lot of young players, if they were handed that type of money, it would make them relax too much, thinking that they've made it and thinking that this is just always how it's going to be. And one of the problems that we often see is that they burn through that money expecting that there's going to be another contract at the end of it. And then there isn't, because they haven't worked, they haven't developed. And clubs just say goodbye to them. And now all of a sudden, they find themselves playing in League Two or League One for a fraction of that money. And all of a sudden, having thought they were set up for life, they're still earning better money than the average Joe Soap. They're still playing professional football, but they're not able to put money aside for the post-career. Because they're not just going to live in a three-bed semi, most of them. And they're going to have done things when they had the bigger money that require maintenance. So, for example, if they've bought like a high-end car or a big house, they have to maintain those things. And that can be very pricey. If they've bought things for family members, they might have to maintain them. And you do get so many players that reach their late 20s and they're bankrupt. Or they retire and they don't have a pot to piss in. And that's why grounding these young players the way Liverpool do, I think, is really beneficial. Interesting to see him say that Dominic Szoboszlai is, in his opinion, the most difficult player to face at Liverpool in the shooting drills. He's just really powerful. It's not just down the middle. It's powerful into the top corner or the side netting. Dom does strike a beautiful ball. Hopefully we see him used properly next season, because that would be great. Right, this is Anfield have ranked all 34 signings Jurgen Klopp made as Liverpool manager. So let's have a look. Right, Lloris Karius is 34th. I'm just calling bullshit straight away. Lloris Karius helped us get top four, helped us get to a Champions League final. Yes, the final went the way it did. There's also been pretty straightforward explanations afterwards as to what happened and the fact that he was seeing double. So that's bullshit. Arthur, absolutely. Yeah, no issue there. Played 13 minutes. Ozan Kabak. Yeah, I'm not sure how he'd be below, you know, Stephen Caulker, for example, but whatever. Caulker's 31. Coming in at number 30, Calvin Ramsey. Lots of talent, but he's been injured pretty much the entire time. The club will, I think, keep patience with him. Marco Grujic. I mean, I'm not sure how he's above some of the players. Now, again, it's a small amount, but I'm not sure how he's above Quebec, for example, considering Quebec actually played for us and did something. But Grujic did bring a big fee, so that was good. We got like 14 million for him, and it helped us build a relationship with Porto. Sepp Vandenberg, he's been really good for the loans he's gone on at Preston and Mainz. Now, Mainz has been a mess this year, but he's been good. Be curious to see if he gets an opportunity. But Mainz do have an option to buy, so it might not be a thing that we can even consider. Dom Solanke wasn't great for us, but brought in a big fee and has obviously gone on to do very, very well at Bournemouth. Ragnar Klavan, the disrespect to put this man 26th. The greatest ball-playing centre-back of all time. Not sure about that one. Carvalho, 25. Fair enough, I suppose. He hasn't done a whole lot for us, but did get a match winner against Newcastle. His future is still very bright. Naby Keita, 24. I mean, injuries absolutely ruined him, but when he played, he was really good for the most part. And we won more with Naby Keita in the team than we did with any other player. And if Jurgen had started him in Paris in 2022, we'd have 7 European Cups. Adrian at 23, the less said, the better. Gravenberch at 22 feels high based on this season. Taki Minamino, 21, played an important part in the Cups in 2022 and brought in a decent fee. Though I'm not sure, signed after outshining Erling Haaland at Anfield for Red Bull Salzburg is an accurate statement. Kostas Tsimikas, 20. That's low. I think that's low, to be honest. Endo, 19. Yeah, fair. Shaq, 18. I mean, the goals against United and the performance in that semi-final against Barcelona, yeah, absolutely. Ox, 17, another one that was ruined by injury, but he could have easily been a top 10 if it hadn't been for those for that knee injury. That knee injury was just horrific. Cody Gakpo, 17. Hasn't really done all that much after the initial good spell. Darwin, 15. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Szoboszlai, 14. One season, really good to begin with, and obviously just poorly used and got hurt. Hasn't been the same since. Thiago, 13. He would be a top 5 signing if he had stayed fit. He's just an incredibly talented footballer. He just could never stay fit. Didn't help that Jurgen thought, oh, I'm going to use him as David Batty here and have him do all the dog work because I'm too stubborn to get rid of or too loyal to get rid of garbage midfielders. Luis Diaz, 12. Again, like, he had that really good first spell and he's never consistently been all that good since he got injured. Ibu, 11. Yeah. Alexis, 10. A lot more to come from him. Jota, 9. That feels about right. Ginny, 8. That's too low. I'm sorry. That's just too low. Matip, 7. I'd have Ginny above him. Fab, 6. Mane, 5. Robertson, 4. How are we putting Robertson above Mane? There is an argument that he was Liverpool's best player during the record-breaking title win. There's no argument. He just was the best player in the 1920 season. I'm not having Sadio below Andy Robertson. I'm sorry. Robbo's been great, absolutely great, but Sadio and Fabinho for me go above Robbo. 3 is Virgil. 2 is Ali. 1 is Salah. Look, the top 3 you can put is in any order, but the be all and the end all is that Virgil is the one that raises the ceiling of this team and makes us title contenders, and the others don't. Like, they just don't. Look at all the injuries we had this season, including Salah and Alisson being out for extended periods of time, and Virgil single-handedly was keeping us in the title race. Look at that defense this year. Look at how many different combinations have played. And the one person that's been there is Van Dijk, and yet we were still in a title race into April, despite playing children with no Premier League experience, despite 3-4 different centre-back partners this year. Gomez didn't play centre-back with him, did he? So 3 different centre-back partners this year and 3 different left-backs this year, as well as 3 different right-backs, because Gomez obviously did play both full-back spots. The only consistent has been Virgil in that left-side centre-back role. 2 different goalkeepers, 3 different players playing defensive midfield, because, again, Gomez played there, obviously Endo and Alexis. All of that chopping and changing, and yet the one consistent was Virgil, and we were in a title race up until the other senior players came back and didn't perform well. Like, Virgil's the best signing of the Jurgen era. I would say Mo 2, Ali 3, but again, it is very, very close. But Sadio is 4. Like, Sadio is 4. Fab is 5. Robbo 6, Ginny 7. Then there's a gap for me. And then to Matip, Jota, Alexis. That seems fair, but I'm not having Ginny below Matip, and I'm certainly not having Mane or Fabinho behind Andy Robertson. Robertson is, and to be fair, the author does say my favourite player of the Klopp era on Robertson, so it's clearly a bit of bias, but Sadio was a much better player than Robbo. Fab was a better player than Robbo. There's just no question. Where else have we got? Let's see. Jurgen Klopp mural comes alive in brilliant tribute. We'll come back to that. Darwin Nunez in Barcelona and Kanate seek sun as Liverpool enjoy time off. Klopp farewell. Oh, God. We'll come to that. Right, let's see. An already eye-catching mural of Jurgen Klopp became that more captivating as it came to life as part of a tribute to the departing manager. Oh, there's actually someone's done a video of the different murals. There's a YouTube video of it in this article if you want to watch it. I haven't seen it yet, but that should be good. Yeah, so Darwin was pictured in Barcelona with Ronald Araujo. Because Liverpool aren't playing till Monday, they have a couple of days off. Ibu went to the beach because, you know, why wouldn't you? Alexis went to London. Looks like his parents are over. And Costas Simicus apparently gone to London as well. Posted an Instagram with better days will come. Interesting. Cody Gakpo is spending time with his newborn son and his better half. I say better half. All men's better half is their other half. And that includes, you know, relationships where it's two men or two women. The other one is always your better half. That's just what you have to say. Those are the rules. I don't make them. I'm just here to enforce them. Klopp farewell plans, winger linked and Villa ref confirmed. Right, so a report from the Liverpool Echo has provided some information about his farewell plans, and Klopp has been asked to give one last speech to the crowd. It's been claimed that the owners could come across. 4 things today. Oh, goodness. Well, Jurgen will be delighted to know that Simon Hooper will be the referee for the game against Aston Villa. We've been linked to Johan Bakayoko. After being asked about signing particular players, Arnie Slot has said, if a player is good, it shouldn't matter what level he comes from. That's just no. Just no. Liverpool target Michael Olise is wanted by Newcastle. Everybody wants Michael Olise, but if we want him, I believe we can get him. Let's see, Liverpool.com. My voice is starting to go. Liverpool.com. Four Liverpool stars with the most to prove in final Premier League games. Why Darwin Nunez was pictured in Barcelona. Phil Coutinho still having influence as Liverpool ace makes honest admission. Emre Can makes honest Liverpool admission as he gets second Champions League final chance. There's a piece about Carvalho, piece about Jurgen, piece about Arne Slot, piece about Fabio Carvalho, another piece about Darwin. For some reason, there's a piece here about Eric Ten Hag. There's a piece about Gonçalo Inácio. More pieces about Emre. Rio Ferdinand not being a bell end for once and doing what so many Liverpool legends have failed to do and standing up for Salah after the absolutely nonsensical comments that came out from gimps like Troy Deeney, Simon Jordan, and Graeme Souness, who I think is the best midfield player we've ever had, the best midfield player Britain's ever produced, and a really good pundit, but what he said was asinine. There's a piece about Jurgen on Anfield Watch, there's a piece about Cody, there's a piece about Ryan Babel. Piece about Harvey Elliott by Henry Jackson. Steven Gerrard getting John Achterberg. That's basically what there is there. So, AnfieldIndex.com. We'll finish off here. Or DaveDavis.com, as it might be becoming. Piece about Szoboszlai. Piece about Figueroa. Piece about Jurgen. Piece about Achterberg. Piece about Diaz. And then podcast-wise, there is the AI special, Dave Davis speaking to Dan Morgan, who wrote the book about Jurgen. There is a Media Matters, Dave Davis and Ben Boxack. There is Ben's sit-down with João Teixeira. And there is a new Under Pressure, Dan Kennett, Hamza, and Phil Barter. So that is out. Give that a listen, and I will see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at AnfieldIndex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.